chapter 12. Book of Luke, chapter 12. The chapter opens in verse 1. Notice an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trode one upon another. So you have this great multitude of people that are following Jesus Christ. Included in that multitude are his disciples, whom he speaks to first. Notice verse 1. He began to say unto his disciples, first of all. So you have this great multitude. Included in the multitude are the disciples. And Jesus speaks, and he is speaking first to the disciples. What he says to them is recorded in verses 1 through 12. In verse 13, there was an interruption. Notice, and one of the company, one in the multitude, said unto him, Master, speak to my brother, that he divide the inheritance with me. Have this multitude, includes the disciples. Jesus is speaking to the disciples. All of a sudden, one out of the multitude addresses Christ. Verse 14, Jesus speaks to this individual, again in the hearing of the multitude. And he said unto him, the one who just spake, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? Verse 15, and he spake unto them. He spake unto him, the one who asked the question. Verse 15, he spake unto them, the multitude, the disciples in the multitude, the whole multitude. And in verses 16 through 21, you see what he says to these people. He speaks a parable to them. And then beginning in verse 22, and he said unto his disciples. So now he's, again, the multitude's still there, but now he's speaking to his disciples. He's turned his attention upon them. And what he says to them continues through verse 40. Then in verse 41, there's another interruption. Then Peter said unto him. So now Peter addresses Christ. Lord, speakest thou this parable unto us, just the disciples, or unto all? Are you including just the disciples in this parable, or all this multitude? So we see what Christ says in verses 42 through verse 53. What he says to Peter in the hearing of everyone. And then in verse 54, and he said also to the people. So now he's turns his attention back to the multitude. So from all of that, we see there's a lot going on here. And this is one of many examples of how important it is to keep track who's being spoken to. Because in this chapter, you see it shifts several times. And certainly it makes a difference in the interpretation or the meaning of what is said. Now, so you have this huge multitude following Christ. The crowds that followed Jesus throughout his earthly ministry, for the most part, not every time, but for the most part, were concerned for their earthly provision, their temporal needs, What is it? What's in it for me? And such was the case here. These people are following Christ for their own temporal needs. But Jesus would often use these occasions to teach his disciples deeper truths. The multitudes are following for, and they have a very limited outlook, the temporal. What's in it for me? And Jesus would take those occasions and teach deeper truths to his own. And again, this would be the case here. And we see what Jesus said to the disciples, verse 22 through 40. Jesus takes this opportunity of the multitude's over-concern about the temporal to teach his own. And again, in verses 22 through 30, he teaches them the futility of worry. He says, you waste your time by worrying. And then beginning in verse 31, he offers an alternative. He says, but rather. So that's an alternative. He speaks of the futility of worry, verses 22 through 30. Come to verse 31, he now offers an alternative. But rather. And then he proceeds to teach them the importance of trusting God. And you can read that for yourself, but he teaches them the importance of trusting God and the need for a heavenly viewpoint. The multitudes had a temporal viewpoint. Jesus takes this opportunity to teach his own the importance of a heavenly viewpoint. We can get pretty mixed up if we have a temporal viewpoint. We can see the temporal, but our viewpoint must be heavenly, not temporal. And this is what Christ is teaching here. That brings us to what we want to use as our text tonight. Verse 32. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. He's not speaking to the whole multitude here. He's speaking to his disciples. He's speaking to the 12. So here Christ is providing them with encouragement not to be entangled in the affairs of life. That's what he's been talking about. He's giving them encouragement to trust God, to maintain, again, a heavenly viewpoint. So we're going to speak tonight on words of comfort from Christ to his church. Words of comfort from Christ to his church. And I desire that you hear these words coming directly from him who spoke them, Jesus Christ. Hear them addressed to you. Hear them addressed to Home Baptist Church. In these words, Christ speaks from the position of a shepherd. I believe this is seen from the fact that he refers to them as a flock. Fear not, little flock. He's speaking to the apostles. Calls them a flock. A flock is a company of sheep that are together. He addresses them from a very peculiar relationship that he has to them. They are the flock. He is the shepherd. He addresses them out of love for them. He no doubt speaks in a tone of tenderness. Fear not, little flock. That's not a rebuke. There's no sharp tone there. There's a tone of tenderness. The subject matter that he addresses with them is fear not. So it is the shepherd speaking upon this subject, fear not. Speaking as the shepherd, he speaks as the one who cares for them. He speaks as the one who watches over them, who protects them, who provides for them, who preserves them. Fear not, little flock. Again, you have this huge multitude of people, and you have the apostles, very small in number compared to the multitude. So he refers to them as a little flock. The Lord's churches are always little in comparison to the world, in comparison to the religious world. The Lord's churches are always little. Nothing wrong with that. These are the words of him who said in John 10:11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. It is the same one who said in John 10, verse 14, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep. The Lord knows his churches. The Lord knows each one he's placed in his churches. And he is the shepherd. And he speaks as the shepherd here. He speaks of as one who is faithful. He speaks as one who has a sufficiency in him, the shepherd to the flock. He addresses them as sheep. Again, sheep by nature have very poor eyesight. They're directionally challenged. They have a tendency to wander and get lost. They have very self-destructive habits, and they have many enemies, and they're basically defenseless before their enemies. Sheep are very easily frightened, very easily alarmed, very easily disturbed, and become restless. They're very easily exhausted and worn down. And they're very prone to disease. It's no wonder that God uses the metaphor of sheep, speaking of his people. Sheep are extremely weak and very needy creature. And the Lord, as the shepherd, says, fear not, little flock. Again, in comparison to the multitude, they are very small. He exhorts them. He says, fear not. Fear not. Fear is the state of the heart being troubled, agitated, anxious, unsettled, distressed. It's a state of heart. It's a state of soul. It is a state of anguish. It is a state of torment. Fear has a debilitating power. Fear has a crippling power. Fear will cloud your minds. Fear will cause you to do some pretty stupid stuff. It'll cause you not to think right. It'll cause you to be very rash in your decision making. It makes it very difficult to think properly. We read in 2 Timothy 1, verse 7, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear. Doesn't come from God. But what God gives us is a spirit of power and of love. And then notice what he says, and of a sound mind. Fear and a sound mind do not always coincide. Because fear has a tendency to cripple the mind. There's many examples in the Word of God, but fear will cause us to fail spiritually. Fear will rob us of joy, that goes without saying. You don't find people who are filled with fear being happy. Fear will rob you of joy. Fear will rob you of peace. Fear will rob you of assurance. Fear has an enslaving power. Fear has a very paralyzing power. We read in Proverbs 29:25, the fear of man, that's speaking of a specific fear, fearing man, fearing persecution, fearing ridicule, the fear of man bringeth a snare. That is, it's a trap. And traps our life. It limits our life. So, the effects of fear are adverse, very numerous, very much varied. There's all kinds of fear. We hear the shepherds say, fear not. Fear not. Now, prior to this, in the 12th chapter, Jesus spoke on the subject of fear. In verse 4, Luke 12, verse 4, and I say unto you, my friends, he's talking to the disciples, be not afraid. That's the same as fear not. Be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more than they can do. He says, do not be afraid of death by persecution, is what he's saying. Do not fear that. Do not let that be a hindrance to you. Do not let that be a roadblock to you. Do not fear man. Do not fear death by the hands of man. In verse 11, he says, and when they bring you into the synagogues, and unto the magistrates and powers, take ye no thought how or what thing ye shall answer or what ye shall say. And he goes on and he says, the Holy Ghost will give you the words to speak. What he's addressing there is the fear of public shame. He says, do not be afraid. If they want to kill you, don't be afraid of that. If they want to bring you before the courts, do not be afraid. The Holy Spirit will be with you in that hour. And then in verse 22, he says, and he said unto his disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, he's talking about worry, what ye shall eat, neither for the body what ye shall put on. He's telling them, do not be afraid concerning your temporal needs. And then he addresses that subject, giving them reasons why they shouldn't be afraid, and then also offering an alternative. So then we come to our text. Fear not, little flock. And those two words, little flock, just kind of get your attention. Fear not, little flock. He's telling them, do not have a fear resulting from your sense of insignificance. Do not be afraid because you're little. Because you have a great big God. Don't be afraid. People are scared. Churches are scared. And you talk to people, oh, we're getting down in number. It scares them. It scares them. I believe Maybe it's not such a good idea to have an attendance board in church. I think people pay too much attention to it. People get afraid when numbers start dwindling. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? You've got a great big God. And you need to hear the Lord say, "Fear not, little flock." That's Jesus speaking to His church. He's exhorting them to a state of security. To fear not means that you feel secure. When our security is shaken, we become afraid. He is exhorting them to a state of contentment and tranquility. He is saying, don't allow yourself to be troubled. John 14, let not your heart be troubled. It's something we allow to happen. Let not your heart be troubled. He's exhorting them to don't allow yourself to be troubled. Don't allow yourself to be agitated. Don't allow yourself to be anxious and unsettled and distressed. But rather be content and be at peace in your heart. It is fear not, little flock. And someone will usually say, well, that's easy for you to say. Well, the Lord gives some reasons that they were not to fear. The very voice of the shepherd says, fear not, little flock. When you hear those words coming from the shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, God Himself, that should give us a sense of security. The Lord says, you don't have anything to worry about. Fear not. There ought to be a sense of security. The very voice of the shepherd says, fear not, little flock. That should produce an attitude of a spirit, an attitude and spirit, it is well. When you can hear the voice of the shepherd, you get this sense, it is well. But until you have that sense, it is well. There's fear. The Lord says, fear not, little flock. But then notice, fear not, little flock, four. What He's doing now is He's going to introduce the reason not to fear. Fear not, little flock, for. And then notice the next two words. It is. For, it is. Now, those two little words, it is, a lot of people just read over them, don't think much about them. But those two little words, it is, are words of fact and certainty. It is. Fear not, little flock, for it is. In other words, He's about to state a fact. He's about to state a certainty. For it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. That's the reason not to fear. The reason not to fear is not in them. It's not in us. The reason not to fear is God. And we see this all through the Word of God. We often, you go through the Scriptures, especially in the Old Testament, and you hear the Lord saying over and over, hundreds of times. You hear the Lord saying over and over, fear not. It's always followed by reason. He always gives a reason not to fear. And the reason is always Him. In Genesis 15, verse 1, you don't have to turn there, but He says, fear not, I am There's your reason not to fear. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Genesis 21, verse 17. He says, fear not, for God hath. The reason not to fear is what God has done. In Genesis 26, 24, he said, I am the God of Abraham thy father. Fear not, for I am with thee. No need to fear because I'm God. No need to fear because as God I'm with thee. No need to fear. In Genesis 46, 3, I am God, fear not, for I will. So again, the reason not to fear is God. But then he makes a promise, for I will. In Deuteronomy 20, verse 1, he says, be not afraid, for the Lord thy God is with thee. Do not be afraid, because God is God, he's your God, and he's with you. Fear not, little flock. And the reason is God. Deuteronomy 31, 6. Fear not, nor be afraid, for the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Do not fear, because God is God. He's your God. And God will not fail. Well, what if we fail? That's really not the issue as far as fear is concerned. Fear not, because he will not fail. You and I will fail. It's not a matter of if we fail, it's when we fail. We're going to fail. The Lord's churches are going to fail the Lord. But our reason not to fear is God. The reason not to fear is the head of the church. Deuteronomy, or Joshua chapter 1, verse 9, be not afraid, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. In Joshua 10, verse 25, fear not, for thus shall the Lord. Again, there's a promise. In 2 Chronicles 20, 15, be not afraid, for the battle is not yours, but God's. He's saying, do not be afraid of the battle. Do not be afraid of the enemy, because it's not your battle. It's God's battle. It's God's battle. And oh, how much better off we'd be if we just said, Lord, there's the battle. Fight it. We'd be a lot better off. A lot of God's people enter battles they do not have to enter. And they're fighting battles there's no need to fight. It's God's battle. 2 Chronicles 20, 17, fear not, for the Lord will be with you. Isaiah 35, 4, fear not, behold, your God will come. In Isaiah 41, 10, fear thou not, for I am with thee. In Isaiah 41, 13 and 14, fear not, I will help thee. In Isaiah 43, 1, fear not, for I have. In Isaiah 43, 5, fear not, for I am with thee, I will. In Matthew 14, 27, remember the Christ came upon the storm-tossed waters and the apostles are in that boat and he said, it is I, be not afraid. Why weren't they to be afraid? Because it's I. Because it's him. In Revelation 1, 17, Christ said to John, fear not, I am. Fear not, I am. The reason not to fear is God. That's the reason. Whatever we fear, whatever it is, and we all have fears, but whatever our fear is, God's bigger. God's bigger than anything you can possibly think of. And here in our text, it is fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's. He says, do not fear. God is your Father. God is your Father. We need to think of God as our Father. That means there's a personal connection between us and God. Fear not, for it is your Father's. Again, it is a fact. It is your Father's. It speaks of a personal relationship between us and God. Then notice what he says. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure. It is your Father's determination. He has determined. It is His will. It is your Father's good pleasure. Again, it is. It's a fact. It's certain. It is the Father's good pleasure to give you. That's grace. God gives us anything that benefits us. It's grace. It is the Father's good pleasure. Little flock, it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. When Jesus spoke those words, there was a kingdom. It was a very large kingdom, the Roman Empire. And they ruled with fear, and they ruled by force. But the shepherd says, God has determined, little flock, by His own good pleasure, to give you something better. We can get fearful about the world, the state of the world, but it's God's good pleasure to give us something better. That's a fact. That's a fact. That's absolute certainty. And even more so when you're talking about the Lord's church. I feel sorry for people who believe that God is just up there waiting to let you have it. That's not my God. Does He chasten? Yes, He does. Because He's a Father. My earthly father chastened me. I don't believe he sat in a room just waiting for the opportunity. And God doesn't either. He chastens. And when he does so in mercy. He's very merciful to us. He withholds what we really deserve. Fear not, little flock. Churches today are fearful. They really are. I think a lot of God's people are absolutely terrified by the prospect of persecution. Fear not, little flock. For it is the Father's good pleasure. And I can assure Home Baptist Church, that it is the Father's good pleasure to give you something better. I believe that. He's not there just waiting to remove a candlestick. That's the thinking of man. Does God remove candlesticks? He most certainly does. But I believe an awful lot of mercy goes forth before He does that. He's not just waiting to do that. It's His desire to be gracious to us. Need to have a heavenly viewpoint. You're without a pastor as of this evening, technically. In a way, you're not. Because until you get a pastor, you can call me. You can call me after you get a pastor. I'm just not going to do anything that contradicts what he does. And I'm not going to listen to criticism of him either. If you take that to him. And I don't see that as an issue. But I just want you to know that you can call me. If you need me, you can call me. And I'll be glad to talk. And if I can't, if we need to, we'll come. And I assure you of that. Don't fear. God has this in control. And again, I say it over and over. I believe it with all my heart. If you follow God's will, you will have the best pastor you can have for the time that you have him. He'll be the best one for you. If you follow God's will. You know, it was Brother Charlie today. He said, "You remember when I told you you're no Brother Titus?" I said, "Yeah." And I said, "I'm not." And the next pastor will not be Brother Titus and will not be Brother Dan. He'll be who he is. It's very unfair, and no one did this, but it's very unfair to a new pastor to compare him with a former pastor. That's not who God's called him to be. He's called him to be him, and he'll use him as him. So don't do that to the next pastor. Well, Brother Titus wouldn't have done it that way, or Brother Dan wouldn't have done it that way. Try not to make those comparisons. He is who he is. He is who God made him. And God will use him in that way. But fear not, little flock. In the book of Acts, chapter 20, we were here last Sunday, I believe. Paul's farewell address to the Ephesians. In verse 36, "And when he had thus spoken, they kneeled down, and he kneeled down and prayed with them all." What I'd like to do tonight, those who can, maybe some can't stand, that I leave that up to you. But what I'd like to do is everybody, church member, not, doesn't matter. Everybody come forward and we'll line up, join hands, and we're going to have a time of prayer. For us and for you. If you can't stand that long, that's fine. You just stay seated and pray with us. But that's what we'd like to do this night. So if you could come and we'll just join hands.